Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who Stephen's been at this for 50 years, putting out information, and now, as I said, he puts out a newsletter at 3 o'clock every morning with about 10 different issues covered having to do with the news of California and across the nation. Stephen, pick up the story and tell us what the latest news is.
Well, Dr. Stan, thank you very much for having me as a guest tonight. You know, as I've been watching the news over the last two or three days, there's only been one story. And the story, the subtext of the story is that the United States is now bombing Iran and Iraq, that the United States is sending aid into the rebels in Syria, that the United States is now in a war in the Ukraine with Vladimir Putin, that we are assisting the rebels there, which is the government of the Ukraine, via economic sanctions. In the last 24 hours, the rebels in Iran and Iraq have taken hostage several hundred women. If you remember, about 2 months ago, Muslim extremists took several hundred young girls in Nigeria hostage. They still haven't been released. Normally, during an election period, we talk about Social Security and Medicare and taxation and government economic policies and job creation policies. But at this time, the world seems more like 1937, 1938, 1939, than it does 2014. The American public is watching for a second time, and maybe a third, the failure of a federal government in handling our affairs overseas, forcing a president who swore that he doesn't want any more troops in Iran and Iraq to now start off with bombing into oblivion whole portions of those countries. And, of course, the military of those countries are literally using, as well as the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, are literally using U.S. military equipment against the U.S. military and against our planes.
And, of course, they say that we have no boots on the ground because we have special forces there in Baghdad helping to guard the embassy. We have over 10,000 people there at the embassy in Baghdad, and a lot of them, of course, are professional mercenaries. But we have no two boots on the ground, and the American people honestly believe what they're told. And I really believe that Obama is doing what he's doing to show that he's a strong leader with the election coming up. I think he thinks he can rally certainly votes by going ahead and bombing and killing the people from the ISIS. But what nobody wants to talk about is that who's funding ISIS? I believe we are. Saudi Arabia, certainly a couple of the Arab countries, but I think we trained and armed ISIS. Where did this large force come from, and now we're bombing them? Come on now. Go right ahead, Steve. What are your thoughts?
We are in a position where, as you may know, going into Israel now is a dangerous thing. You can't go there on vacation because it's a war zone. And even though we still fly planes into Israel, it's not a safe place for you to take your family.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, it can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's simply saying that Barack is certainly spending 10 or 12 days in Martha's Vineyard. He has his bicycle. He's out enjoying himself. He said that we would never certainly be bombing certainly Iraq. And he said repeatedly we would never be using drones to bomb Iraq, and we're doing both of them today. And where is the outcry from the American people? Why we're so busy watching football and the conclusion of the baseball season, we're not even watching what's going on over there. And most people could care less, even though an awful lot of people are being killed. Christians are being slaughtered by ISIS, which I believe is at least in part funded by our own government. But go right ahead.
And let me make two other points before I get to the main point of what this all means politically here in the United States. As you know, in the last few days, he has hosted about 50 heads of state from Africa, mostly dictators, and interestingly enough, mostly heads of state that imprison people who are homosexual, who take away their jobs, who sometimes kill homosexuals because they're homosexuals. Yet at the same time, President Obama wants us to have same-sex marriage, and he is inviting into the White House people who kill homosexuals. You know, that just doesn't make much sense. And so what I see happening is a revolt of the Democrat Party against Obama. We already know that unions are killing jobs and workers are getting hurt because of that, yet Obama continues to support the unions. Obama said he would get us out of Afghanistan. We're still there 5 years after he said that. He said that he would leave Iran and Iraq, and he has sent troops back into both those countries, and he is bombing those countries. So the progressive left is not going to be happy with him and certainly not willing to support him. We know that here in California, Univision, which is the largest Spanish-speaking media conglomerate in the world, Univision did a poll, and only 6% or 7% of Hispanics are concerned about immigration policy. They're concerned about their jobs. They're concerned about tax policies. They're concerned about good schools. The Hispanic community is no different than you or I, Dr. Stan, in those concerns. You and I are concerned about jobs, taxes, quality schools. There's no difference between the Hispanic community and us. And now the president has allowed 57,000 illegal aliens into this country, and I'm doing a story tomorrow from National Review online that shows that he only knows where 20,000 of those people are.
Well, now, those are the children, as you're speaking of now, 57,000 children.
Right. He only knows where 20,000 are. He has literally, and the U.S. government has literally lost track of 38,000, I'm rounding off the numbers, 38,000 of these illegal aliens that he brought into this country. And of course, the other 20,000 that he does know, he's going to give them amnesty anyway, because 93% of those who appear before immigration courts get amnesty, get to stay here permanently. So with all of this, there's a lot of angst among his own people, among the Democrats, who feel like he's not only sold them out, but he's harmed them. The coal miners in the Southeast, in Kentucky and Tennessee and Ohio, and, of course, West Virginia, 200,000 have lost their jobs so far, and many of them are Democrats who are now turning Republican. This reminds me of the period between 1976 and 1980, when Democrats turned into what we called Reagan Democrats. We are now beginning to see Obama Democrats become Republican by vote, if not by registration, because he has sold out their values. He's given unions so much power that the workers don't know how much the paycheck's going to be, because the unions can take the money, and then they use the money to elect people that to office that indeed harm the quality of life for the workers. And the workers are now realizing that. So what we're beginning to see, whether it's because of his anti-Israel stance, his anti-Semitism, and that's really what it is, let's be honest here. He is an anti-Semite. He hates Israel. He prefers Hamas. He has asked Israel to stop defending itself while not asking Hamas to stop bombing Israel. We are beginning to see, and I think the November election, if it continues to go the way it looks, the November election could be worse for the Democrats than 1974, which was the Watergate year, was for the Republicans. It could be a total disaster for them, but because of the policies of the president. I would not be surprised if, as we get past Labor Day, which is only a few weeks away, that we begin to see Democrats starting to publicly oppose President Obama because they want to stay in office. And people who are, and the Republicans are getting smart enough to demand that Democrats in office or candidate defend Obama or say why they disagree with him. And, of course, as they do that, they divide their Democrat support, and the Democrats won't come out to vote for them who are too progressive on one hand or too conservative on the other, to the benefit of the Republican candidates for office. So I think we're going to begin to see a massive shift in the politics of this country. I don't know if you noticed, Dr. Stan, about 3 weeks ago, there was a massive anti-illegal alien rally held in the downtown area of Chicago.
I got the conspiracy of silence, in other words. Now, this was not touted. I mean, you can get a few dozen homosexuals together sitting out in front of the White House, and you'll see this on television, and you can get a massive Sunday demonstration in Chicago. Sunday is having to do with immigration, and it's hard to even mention. Go ahead.
Well, Fox News covered it because the hundreds of demonstrators who demanded that Obama ship the illegal aliens back were all black. And they were all denouncing Obama for bringing these illegal aliens into this country and taking their jobs and taking their welfare and making our schools and our hospitals more crowded. So black Americans have begun to recognize that the immigration policy directly and immediately harms them. So I think we are beginning to see a new demographic in American politics, and I would call it the Obama Democrats, those who no longer like Obama. And it takes a lot of different viewpoints, whether it be taxes, unions, foreign policy, immigration policy. There's a lot of Christians who are Democrats who now are upset with the president for his promotion of same-sex marriage and for his promotion of contraceptives as being part of Obamacare. You see doctors and Wall Street. Wall Street, because of the Dodd-Frank regulations, is killing the profits of Wall Street, harming the bonuses of the workers on Wall Street, and they're beginning to feel the pinch, even at their level. And they are not giving to the Democrat Party like they used to and normally would. If it weren't for two men, a former mayor Bloomberg of New York and a man by the name of Tom Steyer, and, of course, George Soros is the godfather of the effort, the Democrat Party wouldn't even be able to show up at the polls this November.
Well, I think it's a fascinating event. I think that certainly you're absolutely right. I think the Democrats are going to lose a lot of support simply because of their leader, titular leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Go right ahead.
Well, in 1976, the American public elected Jimmy Carter, and his policies were so bad that it created Reagan Democrats. And we've elected Barack Obama. And I'm believing that his policies are so bad that it will elect a good Republican to the presidency, but in the meantime will strongly elect a Republican Senate and make the Republicans in the House even stronger. It'll be very difficult for the president to do anything, and you're going to start seeing a lot of bills going through the House, going through the Senate, and then being vetoed by the president. He's going to be the veto president. He said famously that he would use his pen and a phone to govern. And now we know he's going to use that pen not only for executive orders, but to veto bills. He's going to be a government of one. And the people are going to see that as obstructionism, that he's unwilling to work with Congress. And he is, you know, my way or the highway, you know. We have the most famous, one of the most famous statements of a president was Franklin Roosevelt when he said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. And, of course, the most famous statement of Barack Obama is going to be, so sue me. And that,
yeah, but that's the thing, the whole idea of bringing a lawsuit against him, and rather than an impeachment, I think it reflects the a quality of leadership of the Republican Party, which I think has been compromised. Certainly there's no justification for a lawsuit against Obama. He should be impeached, and whether they're able to get this through or not, they would certainly be able to bring the information out and let the American people see the hypocritical fact And even note that there's a great deal of question, serious question, whether Obama is even an American citizen. We'll be back in a moment with Steve Frank right here at Radio Liberty.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Stephen Frank. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly Stephen is talking about the election process here in California, and basically, of course, in many instances, there's very little difference between the Democrat and Republican candidate, certainly for the governor. Why the Republican candidate supports all the major Democratic propositions. I couldn't believe we had such a terrible selection for governor here in California. In fact, I'm going to have to sort of vote for a Tea Party candidate. There are a couple of people running. I certainly don't have much chance of winning, but I really would find it almost impossible to vote for the Republican candidate for the governor in California. What are your thoughts?
Well, actually, Dr. Stan, under the new rules, there's only two people on the ballot for governor, and you're not allowed to write in a candidate. So you have a choice of Tweedledum or Tweedledee or not voting at all. And that's a problem for all of us, that we have no choices. Part of Proposition 14 that got rid of the political parties in the state not only got rid of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, but it also got rid of the third parties. In a normal election, if you didn't like the Republican or Democrat candidates, you could vote for peace and freedom. You could vote for American independence. You could vote for the Green Party. You could vote for the Liberty Party, the Constitutional Party, I should say, and you'd have a choice. Under the new rules, you have the Republican Party. Well, you have two candidates, and in this case, there is a Republican and a Democrat. But just to give you an idea, the Republican candidate has under $200,000 cash on hand, and the Democrat candidate, Jerry Brown, has $23 million cash on hand. Cumulatively, it appears that all the Republican candidates, governor, lieutenant governor, et cetera, all the Republican candidates for constitutional office, cumulatively have under $500,000. While Jerry Brown has $23 million, Gavin Newsom, the Democrat lieutenant governor, has about $6 million. The attorney general, Democrat, Kamala Harris, I believe, has between $5 and $6 million. The Republican Party candidates for constitutional office have no money whatsoever.
But isn't that because they really don't adhere to Republican principles?
Well, it's a variety of reasons, but the most important one is no one believes that any one of them can win. And if they can't win, why would you burn your money for nothing? And especially if you have policy disagreements with them, why would you give them any sizable money? And I would expect that the Republican candidate for governor may be able to, at the end of the day, spend about $2 million for a race for governor, which is less than was spent for somebody running for the mayor of Los Angeles or San Francisco. Just to give you a comparative.
Well, it's a tragic situation, what they've done with the electoral process. Suddenly they've passed laws that have essentially changed the whole idea of representative government here, in large part because they control the media. And suddenly the media has determined how the people vote. That and the unions. The unions are such a powerful force in California, and they, by force, take money from suddenly the government employees and utilize that for electoral purposes. Would you agree?
Absolutely, I agree. And again, this all goes to the issue of how politics and government is being transformed. One of the most interesting transformation is occurring to the SEIU. I'll give you two separate instances. On one hand, in a Supreme Court decision of Harris versus Quinn, the SEIU in Illinois was stopped by the Supreme Court from stealing money from people who worked at home assisting parents, children, relatives, and the elderly. The SEIU just attached their wages and took money from it with the permission of the state of Illinois. That was ruled unconstitutional. Well, the state of Washington has the same law, and the SEIU there has begun giving refunds for the people they stole money from. Here in California, we have that as a law. There will be a lawsuit, and the SEIU will be forced to give that money back. In total, that one decision by the Supreme Court is going to cost the SEIU $250 million, and that's a big hit that they're taking.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems in America. Because, of course, the good people are so busy having a good time that they're not involved in the political process and in this, so much of this legislation. We'll be right back.
While the storm clouds gather, far
across the sea. Hi, this is Joyce Riley. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is RadioLiberty.com.
Moment here with Stephen Frank Tucker. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney. Stephen's been talking about the unions, the SEIU, that is the Service Employees Union, and they would be, Sydney, in charge of the union for McDonald's and for fast food restaurants, service employees. But they're having real problems. They're losing a lot of their membership. And then, of course, the Farm Workers Union is having similar problems. They're losing a lot of their membership. Sydney, the people are not happy with it. Because, of course, the unions are making demands that can't be met, and it will end up with an awful lot of people losing their jobs. So, Cindy, the unions are overall across the country losing membership. They're doing everything they can to get it back again. But until we get responsible union leaders who are using the money to represent the employees rather than pocketing themselves, this is going to continue. Well, before we go on, Stephen, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can subscribe to your publication.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. Every morning at 3 a.m., I publish the California Political News and Views, which is 10 stories that you won't see in the mainstream media or the mainstream media misrepresents, and I provide the conservative viewpoints on those issues, and information that mainstream media leaves out. And you can get a free subscription by going to capoliticalreview.com, capoliticalreview.com. And on the banner, when you get to that, on the right is the words California Political News and Views. Just click on that. You'll get to see my newsletter, and you can also sign up to receive it at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning. And that, so you go to capoliticalreview.com, click on California Political News and Views on the banner, and then sign up for a free subscription.
A free subscription, the price is right, and it's well worthwhile reading to keep abreast of what's going on. Go right ahead, Stephen.
And so the unions, and I need to talk a little bit about the UFW. The UFW has been, over the last couple of years, been trying to get the workers of Garawan Farms to pay them dues and back dues going back 20 years. And, of course, none of the farm workers could even afford to pay that much. And the farm workers never agreed to be a member of the union. The UFW, United Farm Workers, is just demanding the money from these workers. So the Garawan Farms has gone to court to protect the workers and to protect the company. They refused to sign any labor agreement with a renegade organization like UFW that steals from workers. And so that union, if they're unable to get Garawan Farms to sign up, there's only 8,000 members left of the UFW, many of whom are not paying dues because due to the lack of water and government regulations and the Delta smelt, a lot of illegal aliens are no longer holding jobs in the Central Valley in the farming industry. So their workers have the ability to get agricultural workers to join has gone down because agricultural workers want to keep every dime they can get. And they know that the UFW provides them with nothing. Then, of course, you have the United Auto Workers. They went into Chattanooga, to Tennessee, to organize the VW, put the Volkswagen plant there. And the workers, by vote, said, oh, we don't want you. Leave town. Then you have the SEIU trying to organize nurses. They won an election up in Kaiser Permanente to represent thousands and thousands of nurses, but it was such a corrupt election that the National Labor Relations Board was forced to demand a new election. And this was a case of one union trying to poach members from another union. They are down to that. They can't get people to join the union anymore unless they're forced to, and the only way they can stay in business is by stealing workers from other unions. And they're spending a great deal of money on these lawsuits and these elections against other unions, and that's the good news because that's money they're not spending on electing people to office.
Okay, fine. Fascinating information as it's unfolding. And basically, the unions, sympathize with the idea of representing the workers. But our unions today do not represent the workers. They represent special interests and an effort to bring about a socialist America. Go right ahead.
And in the Los Angeles area, you have the Los Angeles Unified School District. And the union, and we may be within days of the union striking Los Angeles Unified School District, which is about to open up for the fall semester, and the union won't allow it because the union has demanded that LA Unified pay the workers 17.6% pay raise. And so somebody asked the question, and the LA Times did a good investigative. The LA Times found that the union has told the Los Angeles Unified School District, you have plenty of money because all you have to do is take money away from special programs for poor children and give us the money instead. So the union, which is supposed to be for education, supposed to be helping the poor, is literally willing to steal from poor kids their educational opportunities so that their teachers can get a 17.6% pay raise. The very same teachers that don't want to be graded as good, bad, or indifferent and lose their jobs, whereas the teachers have no hesitation giving a student an F and holding them back a year in school. So we have a union that is literally trying to steal from the poor. And that's what unions are about these days. They're in such trouble. And you have to take all these stories one at a time and put them and connect the dots to see how much trouble the unions are in. They are not doing well because the American public no longer respects them and truly wants to have the money themselves. If a worker in California goes to Texas, they immediately get a 10% pay raise because that's the cost of the income tax difference. We have a 10% tax in California. They have a 0% income tax in Texas. So they automatically get a 10% pay raise. And teachers pay upwards of $300 to $600 a month to belong to a union. When they go to Texas, they no longer have to pay a bribe to a union in order to be a teacher in a classroom. So they could earn another $3,000 to $6,000 a year by not belonging to a union. It just doesn't make economic sense. And quite frankly, the union works against the interests of the teachers anyway, protects the bad teachers and arms the good teachers. So why would you want to pay a bribe to a union that's counterproductive to education? And that's what teachers' unions are.
I certainly agree with your assessment. Go right ahead, Stephen.
There was a really good story out of National Review a few days ago about the amount of money that the National Education Association gives to politicians. In the 2011-2012 cycle, the National Education Association gave slightly over $2 million to Democrats and slightly over $3,000 to Republicans nationwide. And that just tells you what the unions are. The unions are a front for the Democrat Party, which is why the Democrat Party protects the union, not because they're right or moral or ethical, but because the Democrat Party needs the money from the unions. And that's just the beginning of the process. Not only does the NEA provide the money for candidates, in the state of Wisconsin, which is a right-to-work state now, a free-to-work state, the unions are forcing their members, who are voluntarily members of the union, to walk precincts to try to defeat Governor Scott Walker for re-election. And so not only are they providing the money for the Democrat candidate, but they're also providing the so-called volunteers. And the teachers are being forced to be good union members by walking for against Scott Walker. Here in California, it's normal for unions to have their members being forced to work for candidates, Democrat candidates. Interestingly enough, in many cases, they get paid $10 an hour to do the walking and the work for the candidates that the union picks. But it is so gross and open that in many cases, not only do they get paid $10 an hour to prove they work, they have time clocks at the headquarters for the union members to clock in and clock out so they can get their paycheck for their so-called volunteer services, which never appear on a candidate's financial report.
Well, it's an unfortunate situation, but certainly we do not have certainly representative government, representative unions, representative organizations go right ahead.
And so it's going to be up to the people, and that's why I believe the transformation that we are beginning to see, similar to the transformation between 77 and 1980, that the American public is going against the Democrat Party, that they feel the Democrats have taken advantage of them. And we'll see a great deal of that in November. And if the Republican Party doesn't do anything stupid, which it didn't do in 1978, it did some very smart things in preparation to elect Ronald Reagan as president in 1980. And if the Republican Party is smart enough to get through the next 3 years without making any serious mistake, we will go back to a Reagan-esque type era where the Democrat Party is looked upon as the statist party, the party that uses people and forces people into action they don't want. And one of the first things the Republicans have to do when they take charge is roll back and eventually repeal Obamacare. It cannot be repealed overnight because it's so ingrained, but it will take 2 or 3 years to get rid of it.
Well, I would simply point out that the leadership of the Republican Party, I believe, has been compromised. They're refusing to do what's right. They're not coming up with adequate attacks. They're not certainly opposing Obamacare. They say all the right things and do all the wrong things. What we're going to have to do is start working from the bottom up rather than from the top down. I do not believe you can trust Boehner or the people at the top of the Republican Party today. But we can get started working locally, but only if the people are going to get involved. And they have to get involved, either that or we will lose America and suddenly live in a tyrannical state that controls every aspect of what our society we do is going on. And that, of course, is why they're listening to our telephone conversations, why they have the cameras certainly on street corners all across America, why they're certainly militarizing our police and arming our police with automatic weapons, and why they bought 1.6 billion of rounds of ammunition, laid in large supports of food, have their underground places for the elite to go, suddenly have the doomsday seed bank. They're preparing for difficult times, and we are going to have difficult times unless the American people are willing to become involved and demand representative government and start to take over the country from the bottom up rather than rely upon somebody else to rescue us. Go ahead.
And you're exactly right. In the short time we have left, let me suggest this, that your listeners and their friends and associates need to find candidates that are constitutional conservatives and work for them. Do not waste time with candidates, regardless of party, that don't have your values. Be productive, be positive, work for somebody, rather than spending a whole lot of time or any time saying how bad this candidate is or that candidate. Instead of doing that, there are candidates for city council that need help, board of supervisors, board of commissioners, school boards, that need your help. There are good assembly candidates and congressional candidates. Work for those people. Be positive and spend the next 95 days. We're only about 95 days away from the election. Spend a portion of every day trying to elect a good constitutional conservative to office. Maybe not for governor, maybe not for senator, but certainly for city council or for assembly. We need to begin the process of electing people instead of complaining about the bad office holders. Let's try to find ourselves some good people and get them elected to office. And that way we can begin to build a farm team of locally elected officials who can then move up the ranks to the state assembly, to Congress, or even to governor. And they'll be trained and they'll be ready to take leadership as they move up the rungs of political office. But we need to have people that we trust, and it doesn't make any sense for us to spend our time berating bad candidates, people who don't believe in freedom or the Constitution. We need to be working instead in a positive way for those candidates that do meet our criteria of constitutional conservatives, that do meet our criteria of morality and ethics that do have the energy to carry out an office and to do it as they say they're going to do it, not just make promises just to get elected.
Well, Stephen, I want you to get your website out again. Tell people how they can get your website and how they can get your free daily publication.
They can go to capoliticalreview.com, capoliticalreview.com. Click on when the banner comes up, on the right side of the banner is the words California Political News and Views. Click on that and sign up for the newsletter. It is free, and it comes out approximately 3 a.m. every morning, and it allows you to see the side of stories and information that the mainstream media either doesn't know or doesn't want you to know. And I provide that information so the public can be aware of what is going on in the world, not just the headlines from the 6 o'clock news.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, I subscribe and on a daily basis why we get Cindy the communication from Stephen Frank. I get it and read it. You should as well.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope that many of you out there listening, listening to Radio Liberty and can believe what we're saying and will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, trying to educate the American people. And I will tell you, we're reaching more people all the time. We can tell that by the letters, by the response we're getting. But quite frankly, we do need your financial help to maintain the network of stations across America that are carrying our program. And they have to make a living as well. I understand that. And certainly most of them are very cooperative and supportive. But we do need your help to maintain our network of stations. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, we do have other products that you can purchase. You can purchase books that we have and 4 CD sets. And we have all sorts of sets on, we have a set on Common Core. And we certainly have a set on a 4 CD set on deadly electricity, and certainly deadly electricity, going into all these EMP forms we have. You can certainly go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at all the tape sets we have, or you can get the catalog, and that'll have all of our websites listed. Pardon me, I should say all of our 4 CD sets listed. And if you'd like to get a 4 CD set, if you'd like to get a catalog, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, if you do get our 4 CD set and you'd like to, we have our permission to copy this and get the information out, because our job is to reach as many people as we can. Now, you can also help us by carrying our health products, and most people are deficient in magnesium. They're deficient in iodine, they're deficient in selenium. Many men need the prostate support. If you'd like a list of the health products we carry, and Barbara and I use many of them ourselves, if you'd like a list, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and ask for a list of the health products. And then we have a list of soap products. Why soap products? Well, because they work, they're efficient. My wife, Barbara, wouldn't be without the Miracle 2 soap or the Miracle 2 gel or the Miracle 2 lotion. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have a Miracle 2 gasoline products, and you can read about them at our website at RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. Now, if you go to Radio Liberty, of course, you can certainly listen to our radio programs there. Certainly, if you go to our website, you can watch the DVDs that we produced. You can certainly read our newsletters, and certainly I wrote them for about 15 years. William Grigg is writing the newsletters, and incidentally, William Grigg is going to be our guest for the next hour. But William Grigg writes the newsletters now, and they're excellent, and they're all available at Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927, and you can get a copy of our you can go to our website and get a copy of all of the things we've talked about. And of course, if you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can, as I say, you can watch our DVDs, listen to our our radio programs, and certainly read our newsletters. But if you're in a position where you can't actually help us financially, then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're
on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, as always at this time on Friday evening, the views of William Grigg, who is formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, has worked for Republican Magazine, has his own radio program, writes extensively for us in the internet, and then, of course, you can read his articles every month in Radio Liberty. William Grigg, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you, and I think a really good place to begin would be to review some of the prophetic warnings that were offered by some of the more precipient commentators of ages past regarding the trajectory of America back at the time that the aftermath of World War II had left pretty much every other nation on earth prostrate, and the United States found itself thrust into the position of so-called world leadership. This was largely a result of a war that had been engineered by elitists in this country, working in collaboration with like-minded cabalists, if you will, people who were part of conspiratorial cabals in other countries. Back in the 1950s, Garrett Garrett, who is a tremendously gifted writer, he wrote the Saturday Evening Post and a number of other publications and newspapers. He was an old-school conservative who cherished the Republic, that America is a country that will be distinct from all others and distinguish itself, among other ways, by minding our own business and doing business. What he wrote as America found itself being eased into the NATO alliance and becoming more or less the predominant power in the world and began to exercise imperial power in contravention of our Republican heritage, he wrote the following thing: "How now, thou American frustrated crusader, do you know where you are? Is it security you want? There is no security at the top of the world. To thine own self, a liberator, to the world an alarming portent, do you know where you are going from here?" The point of this little poetic warning at the end of a very long essay was that America had become something we were never intended to be. And we were fulfilling, regrettably, John Quincy Adams' dire prediction of what would happen if the United States decided that our mission in the world was to go abroad in search of monsters to destroy, and that by aligning ourselves with liberation movements abroad, the United States would find itself becoming a country that had alienated itself from its best traditions. We might become the dictatress of the world, warned John Quincy Adams, but we'd no longer be the master of our own spirit, and that subtly and insensibly the maxims of our policy would change from liberty to force. And bear in mind, this was the early 1950s, at a time when it was believed, or at least people pretended to believe, that the Soviet Union constituted an existential threat to the United States. And this was an impression fortified by the perfidy of the FDR administration in turning over half a dozen or more Christian nations in Central and Eastern Europe to the Soviet Empire.
But I think it's so important that people understand that this was all staged. It was done so we would have an enemy to rally the people behind our government and to justify then, of course, America going overseas to take over control of other governments and creating this empire. But it was all based upon, oh, the threat of communism. But you will go right ahead, William.
Exactly. This was something that they had admitted, actually. Documents were published in the late 1950s, early 1960s. The communist dynamic had to be kept healthy so that it could be used to goad people into accepting the idea of world government.
That's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what's going on today. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, William is talking suddenly about an article written 50 years ago by William Buckley that calls for America leading the battle against the wicked communists, never pointing out that we were cultivating and financing the communists, but you needed an enemy if you were going to suddenly get the American people mobilized and willing to give up their freedom to protect us from the wicked communist movement. And that's been going on for 50 years, and suddenly it's going on today. But you go right ahead, William.
In one form or another, this has been going on for decades. It's been going on since the 1940s. It's something that the self-perpetuating semi-concealed elite has been pursuing by one tactic or another, and that is the consolidation of power at a global level through some institution, whether it's the United Nations or some affiliate, some appendage of that body, or some successor organization. Right now, the United Nations really is at low ebb in terms of its visibility and influence. That doesn't mean that the people who created the United Nations have given up on the idea of having some kind of a hegemonic world body. It just means that, for now, the existing architecture is being ignored in favor of working through NATO. And NATO is a very important and much misunderstood organization. It's always been perceived, at least by a certain segment of the of public opinion of a certain age. I think that most people on the sunlit side of 40 probably don't have much idea of NATO. Those of us who are a little older than that remember that during the 1970s, 1980s, NATO was depicted as the indispensable bulwark against Soviet expansion. And that's how it was sold to the public, but it was never intended to be such. NATO is a regional affiliate of the United Nations, and for all intents and purposes, NATO is the United Nations military body. It's the UN Army. There have been proposals. I mentioned Lincoln P. Bloomfield's proposal back in 1962. Before that, there was a document entitled Freedom from War, a State Department document 7277, signed by John F. Kennedy in, I believe, October of 1961, that talked about a three-stage grand project for what was called general and complete disarmament. And you would have a three-stage process whereby the national military establishment of the world's country would be wound down, dismantled, while at the same time, pari passu, you would have a buildup of the United Nations peacekeeping machinery until such time that the world would be effectively under the control of the United Nations Peace Force. Now, there is an Orwellian locution if ever I've heard a read one. Peace Force. The idea is that you would have something that would impose peace by force, which, of course, is a form of tyranny. And in the third stage, the members of this United Nations condominium would have only those select military establishments and armaments that would be used to carry out the UN military missions abroad. And internally, they'd have a centralized, militarized law enforcement body called an internal security force. Now, we've not seen the fulfillment of that grand design because there are still national militaries on Earth. But what has happened, really, if you take a look at the aggregate military expenditures of the world's nations, the United States spends almost as much as the rest of the world combined on a military establishment that has nothing to do with the defense of the United States. The United States military for decades now has been involved in grand missions overseas for the purpose of so-called nation-building and peacekeeping initiatives. And the United States government, since at least 1991, with the overt announcement of the intention of becoming the enforcement arm of the United Nations Security Council, has been carrying out the role described in that document way back in 1961.
But I think that really basically, William, what we really are doing is maintaining an empire.
Yes.
The United States has an empire. The average American doesn't understand that. We have troops in, I said, 130 nations. We have 800 to 1,000 foreign military bases. I said, well, we have, certainly, our special forces over there in the Ukraine. Our special forces are in Iraq. We have troops in a dozen or more African nations. They're not defending America. They're maintaining the American empire as a stepping stone to a one-world government. And the fact that most Americans have no idea is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think and believe. I would also mention we've killed about 1 million Christians in Iraq and Syria and in other countries, in Libya and in Egypt and Tunisia. Islamic radicals financed with your tax money have killed the Muslims there. And where is the outcry from the American Christian leadership, the American Christian leaders, the American Christians? It's deafening in its silence, and I tremble when I reflect that God is just, and I believe he's going to bring judgment on America, not for what we've done, for what we haven't done, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Would you agree or disagree with that, William?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, and that's one of the things that troubles my sleep, causes my ease to flee, is the notion, actually the acknowledgement, it's not a notion so much as recognition of a reality, that the government that claims to act in our name has been cultivating mass bloodshed of that kind, and targeting, among many other groups of innocent human beings, each of which is an individual, made in the image of our Creator, other groups of individual human beings targeted for slaughter, of course, are fellow believers in Christ in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere. And these people are being slaughtered by the thousands, tens of thousands, by groups that have received the direct assistance and subsidy of the United States government for reasons of cynical realpolitik. What's going on right now under ISIS in the parts of Iraq that that group occupies is perhaps the most lurid example of mass slaughter that we have seen since the Rwandan genocide. And this is a group that was cultivated by Washington, that was nurtured by Washington. Critical elements of it were provided with arms by the United States government in both Syria and before that Libya. And they've been unleashed on that country that was supposedly liberated from the United States government surrogate, Saddam Hussein, supposedly liberated by the United States. And now we have an interesting spectacle where the United States government is bombing that country once again for the advertised purpose of beating down this horrible salient of perfectly psychotic bloodlust, ISIS. Well, of course, in Syria, they are actively promoting the same group in order to wage war upon the government of Bashar al-Assad. But that's, in microcosm, a pretty good specimen of what the foreign policy establishment of the United States has been doing for the better part of a century. They have gone out of their way not to destroy monsters, but to nurture them. And then once they have been fattened and gotten the scent of blood in their nostrils, the United States government goes out and makes war upon them, and usually in such a way that you leave a remnant of that same group behind so as to keep the cycle going, to keep the bloody merry-go-round in operation. And this has left us in a situation where, as you say, Dr. Stanton, we have the United States government functionally behaving as an empire, as, if you will, sort of a holding company for some grandiose project and global rule that may or may not come out of the current architecture for such an ambition, and that would be the United Nations. This study back in 1962 by Lincoln P. Bloomfield, The World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations, was produced through MIT on a military contract, and it was the idea being explored in this of a secure military environment where the United States government, working through the United Nations, would essentially render all nations subject to the rule of the elite dominating the United States government, that of a few allies. Of course, the Anglo-American elite is what they're talking about, albeit elusively in that document and some of the others. What Bloomfield pointed out is that the all-powerful UN envisioned by the study, and I'm quoting now, would not necessarily be the organization as it now exists. In theory, a radical rearrangement of power in the world could be codified through a vision of the existing UN charter, or a new constitution could be designed. In fact, he continued, the process of empowering the United Nations, and I quote, could be a completely new start in the way the Articles of Confederation were scrapped to write the American Constitution. But it is not a terribly important point which method is used. The essential point is that the transfer of the most vital element of sovereign power from the state to a supranational government. Let me unpack that for just a second. What Mr. Bloomfield was saying, and this is a taxpayer-subsidized study conducted through a Department of Defense cutout and working with resources at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, what Bloomfield was saying is that through some structure, whether it's the existing United Nations, an enhanced United Nations, or some entirely new entity, there was going to be this steady transfer of sovereignty from national governments to supranational bodies. And what's happened, I believe, is that NATO really has become, if you will, the most important component of the United Nations system, NATO and the International Monetary Fund. Because the International Monetary Fund, as we've discussed many times, many previous occasions on this program, we've referred to the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by Mr. Perkins. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank, but primarily the IMF, is really a loan-sharking operation that is used to destroy the residual independence of developing countries by getting their national governments so deeply in debt to the United Nations system that they eventually turn over their sovereignty, turn over their national independence to this UN-connected banking cartel. And where it's necessary to break down the resistance or to collect on these outstanding and unpayable debts, then you have the various means that are employed that involve wet work, whether you're talking about jackals, meaning assassins, or whether you're talking about sending in the bombers, sending in the military in order to take out these governments. That's been the pattern of the United States government since the end of the so-called Cold War, and that explains what's going on in Ukraine. And Ukraine, of course, is right on the front porch of Russia, and that could lead to a cataclysmic confrontation with Russia that would lead to untold bloodshed and horror. And I think that's where we're headed if we're not careful.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with William Greig.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is pointing out that certainly the situation in that had taken is taking place over in the Ukraine had come about, certainly because there were a lot of people that were very much pro-Russian who did not want to be ruled by a group, certainly in Kiev, that had been put there by the CIA. Basically, they had a democratically elected government. Everything was fine. And then, of course, you had the elimination of that democratically elected government. I had one put in but run by the CIA. The people in Russia didn't like that. They suddenly took off the Crimea. They had a vote. The people in the Crimea wanted to be affiliated with Russia, as do a number of certainly of the states there in the remaining part of the Ukraine. But, of course, the people in Kiev, under the CIA control, don't want that. And so this whole thing is being staged and has nothing to do with representative government. It has everything to do with the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency wants to dominate that region of the world. Go right ahead.
Yeah. There's something very, very troubling and dangerous about the fact that you have ethnic Russians within Crimea and Donbass and a couple of other places there in the southeastern part of the country, Ukraine. We're under assault, and it's a nasty, wholesale, indiscriminate bloodletting by the military, the Ukrainian military in Kiev. And they're working with U.S. military advisors in order to understand what this really means. Embrace the counterfactual version of this. Let's assume that the Russian government, for whatever reason, had fomented a revolution in Mexico. And in doing so, they created a state of affairs where, let's say, Tijuana and maybe a couple of other of the northern states of Mexico decided that rather than being ruled by a Mexican-aligned communist junta in Mexico City, they wanted to become part of the United States. So the United States decided that there was a historical continuity between northern Mexico and that large section of Mexico that we essentially stole from them after the War of 1846, and so we allowed them into the United States, or at least we allowed them to have a referendum secession, and they ended up adhering to the United States. And so you have the Russian government sending in advisors to Mexico City so that they can conduct an all-out military assault, not only on, say, Tijuana and other parts of northern Mexico, but there's evidence that they have actually been conducting a military assault on the southwestern part of the United States. Would we tolerate this? We wouldn't tolerate it for a picosecond. Well, that's essentially the position that the United States and its allies have put Vladimir Putin in. I'm not trying to say that Vladimir Putin is in any sense an honorable or decent man. He is not. He's a ruler. He's ex-KGB, and I use scare quotes around the word ex because I don't believe that you're ever a former Czechist. You might be a penitent Czechist, but, of course, one of the first things you should say is, I spent my life, after plighting my troth to this criminal clique, doing horrible things in the service of evil, and I've since seen the light and I repudiate all the works and pomps of my former employer. Then I might believe that you might be an ex-Czechist, but you'd still be on probation. So he's not a nice guy. He's not a liberator. He's not somebody I would look upon as an exemplar of anything other than pure power politics. But he's acted with a certain element of restraint because he's not irrational. And he's been doing what he can in order to minimize or mitigate the potential for mass bloodshed in places like Syria and Iran. And now in the near abroad, the literal front porch of his country, you've got the United States actively not only supporting an assault on ethnic Russians in the section of Ukraine that wants to consider itself part of Russia, say of the United States Senate talking about moving NATO forward into Moldova and some other elements of what had been part of the Soviet Union. You actually see the United States Senate urging aggressive action against Russia while denouncing Russia as the aggressor. As of right now, I don't think there are Russian military assets anywhere outside the boundaries of the Russian Federation. There was a brief reinforcement of a garrison in Crimea. That garrison was provided for in treaties that were signed between the Russian Federation, and Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union. They were signed with the knowledge and approval of the United States government, the government of Great Britain. So it wasn't as if he invaded Crimea. He reinforced the existing garrison there, and then he withdrew his troops. But he cannot sit by and allow the United States surrogate government in Kiev to be slaughtering ethnic Russians there in the southeastern part of Ukraine. There's only one government on the face of the earth that has the means to hurt the United States, and that's the government of Russia. And the demented people running U.S. foreign policy are doing everything they can to provoke a conflict with Russia in which Russia would be in the right. And that's something that I simply cannot fathom, and I don't know why people aren't furious and terrified over this.
I agree with you, and the last thing, of course, we would want would be a conflict with Russia at this time. We're going to be back in just a moment here with our special guest, William Grigg. Listen to what he's saying, because I think we're maybe, and I hope and pray I'm wrong, but we may be on the verge of something very serious.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, that thought, I guess, is William then, Senator Grigg, and he's just talking about the fact that the United States has put sanctions onto Russia.
Yeah.
And basically, and so has Europe. And this is an act of war. And however you look at it, we have actually taken an act of war against Russia. Russia is retaliating now, and suddenly is going to actually put sanctions onto Europe. They put sanctions on food from the United States and suddenly products coming in from England and from Europe. And basically, this could very well be a precursor to war. But the average American doesn't understand. Sanctions are an act of war. Before we go on, you go right ahead, William.
All right. One of the things that happened this last week because of these sanctions is that there were hundreds of Russian tourists who found themselves stranded because their travel agencies were no longer able to process transactions to get them home. And these were people from the, if you will, mercantilist element of the Russian economy. They don't really have a free market capitalist system in Russia. We don't have one here either. I'm not trying to say that this is uniquely a Slavic affliction. For heaven's sake, Russia has a smaller government than the United States. It has a less invasive government than the United States now. This is largely a measure, I think, of the fact that it fell apart. I don't think that this was done because the ruling elite in Russia suddenly converted to the doctrines of Adam Smith rather than those of Marx and Engels, but I think things fell apart. The center couldn't hold. When the center didn't hold, suddenly there was room for people to flourish. But unfortunately, in that system, the red managerial class, the people that the Soviet bureaucratic apparatchiks had deeded to themselves pretty much everything of value in 1990 and early 1991 before the hammer and sickle flag struck on the last day of 1991. But the mercantilist class of Russia is their elite, and there are people within that elite who are fairly respectable businessmen. A lot of them are oligarchs who are mobbed up, but there are people in Russia who are genuinely entrepreneurial. And by the way, Mr. Obama, Russia does make things. They, among other things, they make very, very good electronics. They make very good rockets and aerospace technology. I think it was Michael Savage this past week, God bless him for pointing this out, who mentioned that every time the United States sends astronauts to the International Space Station, they have to hitch a ride with a Russian booster because we don't have the facelift capacity to get astronauts to and from the International Space Station, large sections of which were built by these Russians who supposedly don't make anything. What a fascinating, repellent spectacle. Here's somebody whose brow has never known the sweat of honest labor, whose hands have never been put to constructive work, who's never, to the best of my knowledge, actually earned an honest paycheck in his life through exertions that actually added to the net value of our society, who had the temerity a couple of years ago to say that when, I think it was last year, that if we have a business, we didn't build that, and now he's saying the Russians don't make anything. Now, Obama doesn't know the first thing about productive activity, you know, actual work that adds to the economic value of society. And he's actually criticizing Russia from the left. But the thing is, you have these people who have been traveling, pursuing international commerce, and commerce is the best form of diplomacy, who found themselves stranded because of the sanctions that were imposed by the United States by our bullied and bribed and blackmailed lackeys, the imperial satraps in Europe. And as a result, you had corresponding sanctions imposed against Western banking interests by Russia. And as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, Russia is now imposing an embargo on various forms of American agricultural exports. That's a big deal, by the way, here in places in Idaho. Now, Idaho does a great deal of agricultural exports, and a lot of it ends up in Russia. And now you're going to have people feeling the financial consequences of these actions that are at very best, a precursor to war. One of my favorite analysts of international affairs is Eric Margolin. He's somebody who has spent the last 4 or 5 decades traveling everywhere and writing about everything of consequence, interviewing anybody of prominence, influence, who's had a significant role in the development of international diplomacy and conflict. He's the sort of a person who had the late Muammar Gaddafi on his speed dial and actually interviewed Muammar Gaddafi in several of his residences. And he knew these people. He didn't necessarily like them, but he interviewed them and reported what they said. This is what Eric Margolis has to say about what's going on right now in Ukraine. Russia and the West are at war over fruit, veggies, pork, and bank loans. The cause is Ukraine, a vast emptiness formerly unknown to the Western world, but now deemed a vital national security interest worthy of risking a very scary war. Economic embargoes, such as those launched by the U.S. against Russia, may seem relatively harmless. They are not. Trade sanctions are a form of strategic warfare that is sometimes followed by bullets and shells. Think, for good example, of the 1940 U.S. embargo against Japan that led to Tokyo's fateful decision to go to war rather than face slow economic strangulation that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Stan. How many Americans know that President Roosevelt closed the Panama Canal to Japanese shipping to enforce demands that Tokyo get out of Manchuria and China? Frighteningly today, there are senior officials in Washington and Moscow who are actually considering a head-on clash in Ukraine between Russian forces and NATO, which is an extension of U.S. military power, and parenthetically, it's a regional affiliate of the United Nations. Whatever role that might play in present calculations, I don't know, but that's worth footnoting here or taking notice of. Intensifying attacks by Ukrainian government forces quietly armed and financed by the U.S. against pro-Russian separatists and civilian targets in eastern Ukraine are increasing the danger that Moscow may intervene militarily to protect Ukraine's ethnic Russian minority. And as I noted before, Dr. Stan, that would be entirely understandable. It would be a dangerous escalation, but if the situation were reversed and we were dealing with attacks that were endangering American citizens or people over whom to whom it made promises of protection, no doubt the government of Washington was considering a similar policy, if not actually carrying it out already. A full-scale military clash, continues Margulis, could begin with the Russian declared no-fly zone over the eastern Ukraine, such as the U.S. imposed over Iraq. Moscow's aim would be to stop the bombing and shelling of Ukrainian rebel cities by Kiev's air force. Russia's leader, President Vladimir Putin, is under growing popular pressure to stop the killing of pro-Russian Ukrainians who were Russian citizens until 1991. That's another important aspect of this. You're talking about people who, within living memory, and relatively brief living memory, you're talking about basically a generation, they were citizens of Russia. They're ethnically, linguistically, culturally Russian. The U.S. just launched airstrikes against northern Iraq, ostensibly to protect Yazidis, a small religious cult based on Zoroastrianism, which many Iraqis call devil worshippers. Though these strikes were clearly aimed at bolstering U.S.-backed Kurds against the advancing Islamic State forces, Washington called them a humanitarian attack to protect Iraqi Christians and Yazidis, perfectly in keeping with the administration's claim to be waging humanitarian warfare. NATO could quickly deploy its potent air power against Russian aircraft. U.S. and NATO aircraft flying from new bases in Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland could seriously challenge the Russian Air Force over the Russia-Ukraine border region. More U.S. warplanes would be rushed into Eastern Europe. Russian air defenses are strong, and its air bases are close to the sphere of action. Still, NATO air power has the technological superiority over the Russian Air Force and better trained pilots. That's not to say, by the way, that if we were launching sorties out of those bases in what had been member states of the Warsaw Pact, that's another betrayal, by the way, because one of the promises made back in 1991 was that Russia was that if they got out of Central and Eastern Europe, NATO would not advance so much as an acre in the direction of Moscow. And that, of course, was a lie. But that's not to say that sorties launched from those airfields would be entirely bloodless. And I don't doubt for a second that Russia would retaliate against those countries that had once been part of its sphere of influence. On the ground, Russia has a slight advantage, continues Mr. Margulis. It has 16,000 to 18,000 troops on the Ukraine border made up of mechanized infantry, armor, mobile air defenses, and artillery. A competent but small force and hardly a menace to Europe, as the pro-war media howl. Compare this small number of troops to the Soviet First Ukrainian Front alone in 1944, made up of six armies and thousands of tanks and heavy guns. Russia could fight border skirmishes, but certainly not retake Ukraine with this paltry force. Russia's 1-200-division army, which boasted some 50,000 tanks, is today a shadow of its past. 205,000 active soldiers and 80,000 indifferent reservists spread out over the world's largest nation. Russia, as always, has excellent heavy artillery and good tanks, but nothing compared to World War II when Soviet 152-millimeter guns and rocket batteries were lined up wheel to wheel for kilometers. Any attempt by NATO to capture Crimea would likely be defeated by Soviet air, naval, and land forces. The constricted shallow Black Sea could prove a death trap for U.S. warships. Sevastopol, with Leningrad and Stalingrad, was named a hero city of the Soviet Union for its heroic defense in World War II. Ukraine's cobbled-together army, about 64,000 men, suffers poor training, logistical problems, and weak leadership. During Soviet days, it numbered more than 700,000 with the cutting edge of Russian weapons. Today, the army is stiffened by foreign mercenaries and far-rightists from Kiev. The far-rightists, by the way, of course, as I said, are essentially Nazis with a new paint job. At best, let's see here, even so, it could not stand up to Russia's better-armed, better-equipped troops. What about NATO? In 1970, the U.S. Army had about 710,000 soldiers in Europe, mostly based in Germany. By the way, just this last week, we found out that the command officer of the U.S. Army Europe is now, for the first time, they're under the command of a German general. I remember often hearing people say that if it weren't for the exploits of the greatest generation in World War II, you'd have Americans speaking German, and now you have Americans being commanded by a German general of Europe. Today, U.S. has only 27,500 German-based troops left, largely non-combat support units. At best, the U.S. could probably assemble two-week combat brigades, about 5,500 men total, to rush to Ukraine. The rest of U.S. forces are based in Afghanistan, Kuwait, the Gulf, South Korea, and Japan, or stateside. Moving them to Europe would take about 6 months. But the U.S. still retains large air bases in Germany that could support military intervention in Ukraine. Lately, small U.S. NATO contingents have been quietly inserted into East Europe and the Baltic region. Large enough to spark a war, but too small to win one. They're essentially there, in other words, as a tripwire. So where does this leave us? Okay, you can probably see the logic of Mr. Margulies' description here of the correlation of forces. Since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. Armed Forces, NATO, and Russia's military have been sharply reduced by budget cuts. Until the Ukraine crisis, there was almost no prospect of war in Europe. Ardor for war among Europeans and Russians is very low. Britain, now a toothless old lion, would support the U.S. and Ukraine with a few men and warplanes, so would France, Denmark, Poland, Canada, and Holland, but to a limited or even token degree. By the way, Canada just announced that it's sending arms and, I believe, advisors, but don't hold me to the advisors part. They're definitely sending arms to Kiev, so it's beginning. Germany and Turkey, NATO's two heavy hitters, want to avoid any conflict with Russia and might well stand aside. They would be wise to do so, I assert. They both do very large business with Russia and are unhappy about the manufactured Ukraine crisis. So any military clash in Ukraine would initially be limited in scope and intensity, but a confrontation could quickly escalate into a dangerous crisis. The Cold War taught that nuclear-armed powers must never fight directly, only through proxy. Nothing is worth the risk of nuclear war, even a limited one. And I believe limited nuclear war is an oxymoron. Let the Ukrainians sort out their differences by referendum. On the 100th anniversary of World War I, we again see our leaders playing with matches. Now, Mr. Margulies, being a sober and responsible commentator, alluded to what would happen in the event of an actual military clash here without naming it overtly. The logic of this confrontation is that because neither side, neither Russia nor the United States, Russia, of course, because it's a much smaller power with a GDP about, what, 1/15th, 1/16th out of the United States or less, Russia is not militarily able successfully to confront the United States in that region. The United States is hyperextended because we're at the top of the world and we involve ourselves in everybody's trouble. Because either side could win decisively, and both sides are armed with both tactical and strategic nuclear weapons, at some point this would go non-conventional if we ended up in some kind of a military conflict with Russia. This is actually something which has been discussed by, among other people, the chief economic advisor to Mr. Putin, and Mr. Obama himself has actually speculated out loud about the military comparison, the correlation of forces once again between Moscow and Washington. So they're actually beginning to edge up, sort of crab-wise sidle up, to the subject of what would happen if we actually threw down in the region, the United States and Russia. And this is sheer lunacy. There is absolutely no reason on earth or under heaven why the United States should be risking a war with Russia over Ukraine, except for the fact that the United States government, as we pointed out, sees itself essentially as the John the Baptist, if you will, for the imposition of this new world order. And Ukraine got involved in this bloody mess because it had a government that did not want to submit to the rule of the IMF. That takes us back to Mr. Perkins, the economic hitman.
But before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, how they can certainly get your website, how they can hear your telephone upon me, how they can hear your radio programs, how they can certainly read your articles, which you have certainly on the internet, how they can get your PayPal button. How can people reach you and help you and get your information?
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is still my blog, which is called Pro Libertate. That's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time, spelled as one word. .blogspot.com, or go to Google, some other search engine, and type in William N. Grigg, and the first return should be Pro-Libertate. And I publish usually once or twice a week. The essays are about 2,000 words on average. There is a PayPal button on that blog, the Pro-Libertate blog, on the right-hand side of the page and at the bottom of every essay. There's also a button for those who are interested in donating by way of Bitcoin. A lot of what I publish at Pro Libertate is syndicated through lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the head of the Von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Matter of fact, if you go to lewrockwell.com tonight, lewrockwell.com, he's republished an essay that I initially published about 3 or 4 days ago on Pro Libertate. It's not the most recent essay on Pro Libertate, but it's a very good treatment of the subject of the abuse of power by prosecutors. And it consists largely of an interview I conducted with a former prosecutor here in the state of Idaho, made the mistake, in terms of his career, of actually reopening a wrongly adjudicated murder case, or attempted murder case here. A lot of what I publish as well is found at the lewrockwell.com blog, which is the right-hand part of the page. My radio program is called Freedom Zealot Radio, and it's broadcast every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, or 7 o'clock Pacific, on the Liberty News Radio Network, which you can find at libertyroundtable.com. You go to that website, libertyroundtable.com, up in the right-hand corner of the page. There's a Listen Live now button. Or if you go to my blog, Pro Libertate, once again, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, down to the bottom of every essay, right next to my PayPal button, there's a place where you can click to listen to the podcast version of that radio program, which is available in an archive, and I usually update that every week. And it also contains the daily radio commentaries I write and broadcast called the Liberty Minute. They're about a minute, 10 seconds long. And all that can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment, I guess. I'm William Grigg. And I suggest you take full advantage of the material he puts out on a regular basis.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. 8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope that you listen and enjoy our conversations with William Grieg, and that you also understand the significance of what he's saying. And I certainly do not talk to him during the week. I don't know his feeling on things, but we are both, I think, deeply concerned about the very real possibility of a conflict in Ukraine. Now, is it coming now? Is it coming later? The one thing I can assure you is this whole thing is engineered. I believe, certainly with all my heart, that we control in many instances both sides. Certainly we know that the CIA is funding the radical Islamists. I'm talking about the Taliban. I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm talking about Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about ISIS, ISIS. And they're all being funded, at least in part, by the CIA. Why? We need an enemy. And we know very well that during the Second World War, why we funded the Germans. Why? Why? Because we needed an enemy. And I suspect that's what's going on in the Ukraine today. And an awful lot of people are going to die, if I'm right. We're just going to have to wait and see how this unfolds. But we're dealing with organized evil. And unless you understand the spiritual component of what's going on today, so much of what's taking place just doesn't make sense. Why in the world would we take a chance on creating a war, suddenly over what's going on in the Ukraine? And why does America have special forces over there? And why did America spend $5 billion to finance the movement to overthrow the duly elected government in the Ukraine and install the government that we have now, which the initial one was pro-Soviet, and the one we have now is certainly pro-European. And there's so many unanswered questions that nobody asks, and if you don't ask the question, you'll never get a logical answer. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us finance my ministry, which is heard 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, all over the United States, as we try to educate as many people as we can about what is really going on behind the scenes. Because, of course, everything is make-believe. Everything is imaginary. I said, we're not getting the true reason for what's going on in Ukraine any more than we're getting the real reason why in Iraq today we're funding both the ISI and the Shia government there. And we're funding both sides. And an awful lot of people are dying. But remember, of course, during the Iraq War, started in 2003, when they guaranteed that we had to go to war because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and it turned out to be a lie. And somewhere between 100,000 and a million Iraqis were killed. And nobody's held responsible for that. Colin Powell went before the United Nations and guaranteed that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Well, the only weapons they had mass destruction they had were poison gas, and they transferred that to Syria long before. And nobody wants to tell you that the poison gas that Syria has came from the United States, and that's being rounded up and certainly being destroyed. But the average American has very little understanding of what's going on with anything because our media is rigidly controlled. If you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor, we recommend the book. The only place he's wrong is he says the right-wing controls the media, and it's really this what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get Professor Ben Bagdikin's a book, certainly on going into the background of the control of the media by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities.
and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.